This is the April 2nd, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 334 for property ID 210126000. The property address is 32717 Northwest 49th Road, and the property is owned by David and Julie Arndt. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There's no one from the assessor's office, but we do have David here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So, unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. Well, I did find a few, as you have the comparable sheet. Been just looking through it, there's some that are valued closer to the same as my house. Some are probably looking a little better than mine, and I need to do some work on a little everything. I think you have some pictures I sent. One is my barn that's I've been working on for a few years. I've done probably over half now. Rebuilding it. I didn't want to tear it down, but as you see in the pictures, I have a little ways to go, another 20 feet or so. I did frame up quite a bit of it and had to plywood it. Now I have just the last bit, and hopefully this spring and summer I'll finish that off. But that is quite the task when you're doing it all by hand and trying to save a little money. It doesn't look good for the property. On the next, eventually my roof is going to be needing replaced. This is just as old as the house, which is 23, 24 years old. And so in the paint, same situation. May start on that later this summer, if I can get to that. Landscape, I've been working slowly on that, replacing red rock and stuff. Irrigation in disarray because of I had to replace my well. It was bringing up granules. It was probably 45-year-old casing that has been flaking down, and it went pumped through my irrigation system, clogged up my controllers, so no irrigation. I have to replace all the controllers and get that. And so, of course, that's more maintenance. Then windows to be a good selling comparable with other houses that the county came with. I got fogged up windows on the south side, so I'm going to have to eventually start replacing the windows. Maybe just able to replace the glass may be the easiest way to go with that. And then looking over, my valuation last year, it did raise quite a bit. And so now the county is raising it again. Or I should say, when I went through the board last year, you guys raised it a bit, which is probably fair. Now it's raised again. So hopefully we can find a happy medium in this whole situation. But I just don't feel that I'm right up in the caliber of the comparables the county sent, just because of everything I need to do to bring it up to a better quality resale value. And I did find a few sales in the area that were fairly recent, and they have a few outbuildings. It was pretty hard to find some with a barn or something of value plus the ranch-style house. So that's what I came up with. I think you have that sheet also. Is there any questions?
Did you look at the assessor's comparable properties?
I did.
And how did you feel about them as far as comparables?
Well, if my house was up to the caliber on some of them, I found some that were quite a bit lower, a little closer to what my quality, I should say, if it was all fixed up, ready to sell, I think we would have something a little more. But at this point, I'm not quite there. And of course, that sheet, I, for some reason, didn't have it in my folder. Couldn't find it here this morning for some reason, so I wanted to kind of shuffling through papers and not seeing it. So that was a problem here this morning.
I don't have any questions. I think I have enough.
Yeah, I'm good.
No, I don't have any questions. I don't have any questions either. I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, you'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is the April 2nd, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 229 for property ID 204-008-042. The property address is 15909 Northeast 205th Ave. And the property is owned by David and Anna Campbell. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have David here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
You swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. No, thank you. I used one comparison. Comparison two is the same one from last year, and it sold right at the end of that one year. The other ones that I used, comparison three is the closest I could come up with after searching that has close to the same square footage plus a number of outbuildings. And then comparison one is also close, but some of the buildings are just a little bit smaller. I feel that our house is unique. So it is difficult to find, appraisals that are comparables. Then there is a few things that aren't done at the house still. But that's here nor there, but I feel that the appraisal value is a little high for what the house is. And I have the comparisons there. I don't know how to explain it. I'm sure that you've looked them up, and they are on your list. They're all close to the same square footage, and the comparables on the properties and so on and so forth.
How far are they in proximity from your place?
One is two blocks away. Comparable two is in the same subdivision. And the others are within around, probably within a mile, mile and a half. They're all really close. A couple miles.
I have a question on the assessor is showing here that you've got an outbuilding value of $118,000. What is that outbuilding?
It is a shop with a separate, I was going to put an office in there, but never did. So it's just an area off the side of the shop. And it's just a 30 by 50. It's got two trailers sitting in it. Just an outbuilding.
Okay.
And then the other one is a small bathroom, little sauna. It's got a concrete floor so that, you know, the kids and the dogs can be outside and don't have to come in the house to trash the house, right, to use the bathroom and stuff.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you look at the assessor's comps?
I did look at some of the assessor's comps, and I didn't see that they had all the outbuildings and so on and so forth. He listed a lot of comps.
Well, I'm talking the ones. Did you get this notice from him that just has three comparables?
I might have. We've been having some, our child's autistic has been in and out of the hospital, so I've been spending a lot of time with him in the last, that's why I had to postpone the last one. So I haven't done my due diligence of spending a lot of time on this one like I have in the past, and I'm sorry for that.
I don't have any other questions.
So you have three outbuildings?
Yes, I have the shop, and then we have the outside little bathroom area, just a little, it's got a bathroom and a little sauna in it.
And what's the third one?
The house. So just the house, and then a small little building, a little over 300 square feet, and then the shop.
Oh, okay. And as well, I guess I'm confused now.
The shop has a little. It's got the shop with a, like, part of the shop has a little off. You know, it's built out off the side of the shop, little office area.
Well, your house is $28.94, but that's not in those. Down below, you've got a. Oh, that's a garage. Never mind.
Okay,
I was looking at the garage.
Okay. You have the attached garage?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the. Yeah, because the house. The comparison to number two doesn't have any outbuildings, but that's. And it's a little larger, but that house is, it's not identical to ours. It's real close, so.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's the one that's a couple blocks away.
All right. I have no further questions. John or Lisa?
No, I don't know. I'm good.
Okay. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Thank you for your time. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Close the hearing.
This is the April 2nd, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 118 for property ID 92004154. The property address is 15000 Southeast Graham Road, and the property is owned by Eugene and Wendy Hyde. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There's no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Eugene Reagan here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. Basically, if you look at all the comps within my area, my house is a 2,194 square foot home with an above a garage room that you access through the garage to get there. You have me tax assessed at $287 per square foot at a $630,000 value this year, and down $15,000. Other houses in the same area, same comps in 2022, 2021, and beginning of 2023, are all at $268 per square foot or less. I can pull up some of them and share with you. $152.09 Southeast Graham Road. Tax assessed is $554.
You know, unfortunately, you didn't supply us with any of the comps you're talking about, so there hasn't been anything for us to study and prepare for this hearing.
Can I share a couple with you real quick?
Well, it's a little late to have evidence being submitted. It has to be in front of everybody with 14 days or 21 days prior to the hearing.
All right. Well, this is not going to go anywhere, so I'll just stop now, and we can go about it, and I'll file another thing and put in some stuff prior to you guys meeting, because I need to show that, you know, you got me at $630,000 over else in my neighborhood. Even there's a 4,000 square foot house that just sold for $715,000, and it's like $230 a square foot.
If you appeal next year, just provide that to us as part of your evidence, the sale, the details of the sale, and then we can consider it.
If you wish to appeal to the state, you can supply that to the state and still salvage this year if you wish.
No, I'll just put in another one for next year.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Close the hearing.
This is the April 2nd, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves Petition 150 for property ID 188-674-000. The property address is 3814 Northwest 106th Street, and the property is owned by Margaret and John Koontz. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Margaret here for the appellant. I know we can't see you, but if you can just please raise your right hand to be sworn in, and we'll get started.
Okay, it's up.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. No, I don't have any questions. Thank you.
So go ahead and tell us whatever you want to.
Okay, well, basically everything is on my letter that I wrote on the front page, other than all the pictures. I know you guys say don't do all this work, but you know, if you don't see it, I don't, it just doesn't work for me. So anyway, I have a book for you. I submitted 5 properties, I believe, and some of them were not in the original people appeal because they were sold later. All of them have more bedrooms, more bathrooms, full bathrooms, and 2 of them have either ADU or basements, which we do have a basement, but it has been downgraded now because a lady, Kim, I think her name is Kim Gray, at the assessor's office, I sent her pictures of it, and she downgraded it from very good plus to average minus because it is only partially finished. Let's see, what else? I know I'm slow. Okay, the assessed home values, the whole thing would be lowered, but my main argument is with assessed, and one of them is value of the house, and a couple of them show with the land, but the assessed home values range from 787 to 849, and our home is assessed at 1,056,000, which is almost 207,000 more than even the most expensive home and largest, except for number 5, which is gigantic. You will see that one. It's huge. Probably not even able to use that because it's too huge, but I put it in anyway. And let's see.
Can I stop you for a minute?
Yeah.
Your home is assessed
You can.
Your home is assessed by the county at 1,233,000.
Yes, but not my home, my whole property.
Well, your whole property, right. Oh, you're talking just your home value.
Yeah, this is just my home value and just their home values at this point in time. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. So also, there's a house in our neighborhood that did sell for $1.4 million. And but it's the house itself is only assessed at $928,000, which still is less than ours. It has 6 bedrooms. We have 3. It has 4 full baths. We have 2. They have an oversized tandem garage with enough space for 4 cars. And maybe people think that attached garage is a great plus, but it's inconvenient to go to, as compared to an attached garage. So, I don't know. You always have to fight with that. The other thing...
Let me just say one thing. You're talking about assessed values, and we don't go by assessed values. We are required by law to look at comparable sales of property. Assessed values could be... All of them could be wrong. So, assessed values are not a good comparison.
Well, I don't know how you go by whatever sales of properties, because I mean, how does ours get jacked up so much when we've been here for 10 years and never done anything?
Well, you can justify by showing the comparable sales. That's how you justify the value you want, is by showing what homes that are bigger and nicer than yours sold for, and you're telling us that they sold for less than what your home is being assessed at. So just change your dialogue and talk about the sale of these properties.
Okay, I get what you're saying. Well, I've just been so wrong all the time.
You're on your forms. You just need to change, you know, just talk about how these homes, what they sold for as compared to what you're being assessed at.
Okay, I gotcha.
Okay.
Okay, well, one of them sold, I don't know how to do this. There's a one with 5 bedrooms, 5 baths that sold for 1,150,000, 5 beds, we have 3, 5 baths, we have 2. Those are full for them. There's a 4 bed, 4 bath, 4,320 square feet that sold for $865. Again, four beds, four baths. Is this better?
Yes, yes, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, yay. let's see, what else do I have here? Well, there's a gigantic home on, well, I don't know if you'll take this, but it's on Bliss Road. It's not far from us, and it sold for $1,660,000, but it has almost 7 acres, and its house is, I don't see it, I don't see the total. Oh, wait, for 5,000 some odd. I mean, you can see the amount there. Four bedrooms again, five bathrooms, two full, two three-quarter bathrooms, sorry. And they have an ADU and mature landscaping, on top of which we have, as I've mentioned in earlier fights, we have had three slides, and I think I wrote that in there, three slides that is almost up to our backyard fence now, plus in the forested area, there have been two slides there, fallen trees that we've had to have serviced and cut because of how they directed the water when they built this place. Not our place, but the houses above us. And plus, on top of that, we have the constant railroad track noise, which is not really a good selling point, I don't think. I just think that the assessor's office is not familiar enough with our property to make that big of a jump for our value. It's like every year the assessor's office, tries to go over $100,000 plus to make ours more and more and more. And I just don't get it, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but we got a lot of things here that make it not as wonderful as people would think it was. So I don't really have a whole lot to say. That's really, really pretty much it, I guess. I mean, I guess that's about it.
Okay.
Are you there?
Yep.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Very quickly. Oh, okay. I don't have any questions. I don't have any other questions.
No questions. Okay. Okay.
Now, is it
all right? Well,
the slide area is in back of your house or in front of your house?
It's on the side of our house. It's coming close to our backyard. I think two years ago I included pictures of the first or second slide that we had there, and it just we have a fence around the backyard, but it's on the south side of our house. It goes down to the railroad track.
Just keep in mind that we don't have access to any appeals you filed in previous years. So each year, if you file an appeal, you have to send us the same pictures again of the slides of your backyard, because we don't have anything that you did. Every year, the appeal is brand new. So just keep that in mind. And send us the pictures again if there's something that you want us to see.
Too late now.
No, that's okay. You gave us plenty to work with.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. I don't have any questions on it. Thank you.
No, I got it.
Everybody?
Thank you.
No more questions then? Okay.
You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay, well, thanks for your time, and thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Close the hearing.
Bye.
This is the April 2nd, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 301 for property ID 16707-9000. The property address is 1915 Southeast Image Road, and the property is owned by Darlene Pope. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one here from the assessor's office, but we do have Darlene here for the appellant. I know we can't see you, but if you can please raise your right hand to be sworn in now.
Happy to. Thank you.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yeah.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Thank you very much. I greatly appreciate that the board exists. I'm going to follow kind of this. You should have a packet that's quite thick, and I just want to really point out a couple, three things. Mm-hmm. And I'll stick to the script because I tend to wander otherwise. So any rate, the letter I wrote to you said that it put things in context, that in June of 22, I received a notice of value for my property, and I appealed to the county board for the year 23. My first argument, the homes selling for $1 million in my zip code were either newly built homes or homes that had been bought for like $700,000, totally gutted and remodeled, reflected the latest desired trends in interior design. I submitted the first thing I did was get an appraisal. The appraisal came back at $720,000, and that should be in the packet with three comparable sales. Of March of last year, the Board of Equalization set a market value as of January of 22 at $800,000. In June, 2 months later, the county assessor sent out a new notice of value, increasing the property from the 800 to the 992 again. So this is another 25% increase, although appraisers, realtors, and Google all report that Clark County prices had leveled out in last year and may even had a small negative or 0% increase in property values. So here I, again, unfortunately, this is not how I'd like to spend my retirement at the County Board of Equalization. So I resubmitted the $720,000 appraisal that's a year old, and five updated comparable sales in the area. The assessor's office provided three comparable homes for rebuttal, which was kind of informative. Two of these three comparable homes are located in one of Vancouver's best neighborhoods, the DuVille neighborhood, where all the houses seem to be extremely well-maintained. There's a pride of ownership. They have sidewalks and city lights available, which there are no sidewalks or city lights. It's very dark around here at night. And I have a train running one house away. DuVille, as far as I know, has no train. My neighborhood has some very mixed property values, no sidewalks, no streets, and a train one house away from mine. The county's comparable homes sold in the $685,000 to $800,000 range, and then what they added to mine, I think, is of interest. The categories of huge discrepancies was the class of home. So my home from day one, I get frustrated, I'm sorry if I'm shouting, has been rated as good. And to me, that is just insane. But at any rate, when the appraiser came through, he said average. If you're talking about $1 million home, this resume is not in average condition. The other thing is the view, and I have no way of appraising the view, so I'm going to show you what I see, and I'd like some feedback on that. And the yard needs landscaping. Again, in $1 million home, you're competing against other $1 million homes, and you expect that same level of maintenance. So the county added $80,000 worth of value to my view. I've got some pictures in here of the view. The county added $50,000 to $60,000 for my class of home from average to good, because the homes they compared to were, quote, average, but mine is good. And so it's very frustrating to be kind of in this computer. I'm assuming this is computer generated, and the computer doesn't know things like condition of homes. So I now provide it with a bid. So I, since you had the appraisal, I went out and got bids and some pictures to kind of verify what I'm seeing. And the next paragraph on that introduction says that the site unseen has been rated good by the county. The appraiser rate of the property is average. So I'm assuming it's been overrated and overcharged for since day one. The reality is the builder ran out of money and finished the project with aluminum windows. You would expect in a million-dollar quality house even then to have, I think, wooden windows, not aluminum windows. Builder-grade plywood cabinets and inadequate oak bar lighting, not only in the bathrooms, but the bar lighting was in the kitchens, it was in the halls. I mean, he obviously ran out of money before the completion of the house. The first thing I did was try and he had everything. This was a builder who kind of knew what he wanted, and everything he ever wanted in the house, he put in the house. So at best, this house was very quirky when I bought it. What I try to do is get rid of some of the 1970s. What I say is I have put money into this house, but maybe some of them from listening to realtors and contractors who know what they're doing, some of those maybe not well spent money in the end. The first thing I did was try to replace lighting, and they were asking me what the theme was. Well, there were lots of themes going all at the same time. And so the lighting is really inadequate. I knew that, and it's dated. I didn't so much know that. Okay, a couple of things. So I've got a bunch of bids, and I got at least three bids on a furnace because the furnace is the original HVAC system. Amazing. I mean, it's way past its lifetime as a Carrier. And anyway, it's still going, but it could die at any moment. One of the first things I did was put an instant hot water heater in there. It's 20 years old. Its lifespan is supposed to be 15. So somebody coming in, comparing this to other million-dollar houses, all the appliances are over 20 years old. The furnace is original. The hot water heater's outlived its life. So, you know, all those things, I've added everything up. Also, the bid in the kitchen that I got, I didn't have the final. He was drawing up plans and stuff. When I turned this in, I didn't have the final bid on it at that moment, but it's now in. I got the package and brought it in after the fact. After I had originally turned this in. And so in his package, so there's a bid for the cabinets, which is $18,000, which is the bottom bid. I'm sure it would go up from there, quite frankly, in a million-dollar house. Add it to his. What the finishing, countertop, floors, lighting, whatever else. So those two bids actually go together to come up with the final bid on that, which I don't, unless you looked at it carefully, you might think that, you might not know that those two bids go together. Going to the information the county provided, which was the next page in this packet. So they show my house, the view, they added $80,000. The class was good, whereas the two out of the three comparables were actually average. So that added another $50,000 to $60,000, roughly. Two of these comps to get those kind of basic square footage, I'm assuming that's what they're raising mine to, that same square footage, counting the Dubon neighborhood, which I've already pointed out, is like a really highly valued neighborhood. The one that kind of intrigued me was the one at 9707 Southeast 12. I drove by there. That looks like a $600,000 neighborhood, so I'm driving by to see, hey, what brings this up in value? Well, come to find out, one house down, there's kind of a little cul-de-sac, and in that cul-de-sac is a habitat conservation area, and it's got trees there and kind of like trails and all that kind of stuff, that and like a park in the neighborhood. And it looks like it's fenced in, so unless you really stop and look at it, you wouldn't even, I don't know that it's not listed among parks, so I don't know that people would know other than the neighborhood that was there. And so what happens is that this house on Southeast 12th is sitting up a little bit high, and down below as far as I could see, coming from an angle, a house over, is a green plain. So you're sitting up, so you've got all kinds of light, basic light coming into your house probably. You have no neighbors behind you, for as far as I can see. So you got privacy. So, you know, so if they can't take off from my train and you can't add on to the, that privacy would be just somewhat equal to a view, I think, and maintained by somebody else. I don't know who maintains it, but it's not their property and can't be built on, I'm assuming, if it's in half. So anyway, that's the plus to that house that brings it up to that. To value, I think, to buyers, quite frankly. Then I went to the next page. I went to the, I pulled off the listings off of the internet on the houses when they were listed. The one at 9707 Southeast 12th was said that it was well maintained, 4-bedroom, 2.5 bath on 25.14 acre, basically, and Cascade Park. Great location, generous lot, private yard, spacious interior featuring all kinds of special rooms, primary suite with private bath, jet club. Anyway, the point is newer roof, newer carpet, and much of home, great for entertaining. 52 DuBois Drive, the seller's motivated, nicely updated home. Again, these are well-maintained, nicely updated, highly prestigious neighborhood, immaculate condition, Corian countertop, private backyard, great kitchen with, anyway, very updated. The one on Santa Fe Drive is a beautiful home, large estate lot, located in DuBois neighborhood, 4-bedroom, 3-bath, vaulted ceiling, fireplace, dining room, let's see, vaulted primary bedroom with updated bath, second bedroom in suite, newer HVAC, two newer HVAC systems. Basically they're designed as they're really updated. Then there are pages of the estimates that I got. All the furnace and HVACs are pretty close together, which is of interesting because I'm probably going to need to do that sooner than later. And then I wanted to point out the pictures, which are after the bid, what they are. The carpeting, what carpeting that's left in the house was the original carpeting. And I don't know, my pictures aren't the greatest in the world, but the first picture, what that's showing on the top is a countertop without black splash. That's the orange oak paint on it. I've got unfinished projects in the house. So I did try and replace the countertop, but I did it Home Depot. I'm very happy with a $500,000 house kind of fix up, but that's not a $1 million house fix up. I put in an electric fireplace, I don't know, 10 plus years ago. And again, you got something, an unfinished project because I haven't figured out how to handle that. The carpets are stained. That doesn't really show in that picture. It's just not a very good picture. The next page, I don't know if you guys can follow me, are pictures of the view. And again, I can't argue whether this is an $80,000 view. I can show you it's a disappearing view. The first picture in that page is actually the road in front of my house. And I thought, well, maybe they're coming to the road and they're looking down. At the top of that road is a house that had an incredible view, a much better view than I had. And then I went out front and I looked and I was shocked. There is no, I don't know if you can tell, there's trees all across the road down at the bottom, the river's at the bottom. And so the view's now gone. The other view, I think, is a deck view. And again, it's about 25%. It doesn't even look like that in that picture. But if you have the window, it's about 25% of the window is what the view is. The picture at the bottom shows all three. So you walk in, you're in my living room with the lava fireplace, which is very 1970s dated. I did take the wood out of there, which my son said ruined the house. But at any rate, but the view is of trees. Some people consider trees, are considered views, but that's not a river view. There's no river view from the living room whatsoever. The dining room, which would be, so the next page is kind of like, I think the picture, the first picture, which shows the umbrella, would be the dining room. And if you're sitting at the dining room table and looking straight out, you're not going to have the view. If you're at one end, you can look out and have the view. And that's the same picture that you're going to get from the deck. The next picture is the view from the kitchen, which as you go towards the back of the house, you get a little bit better view. There's a view of the east coming up to you. Anyway, the driveway is totally needing to be redone. That's kind of what stopped me. It's very, very expensive, and there's water issues that need to be taken care of before the driveway is taken care of. The next pictures are of the aluminum windows that are in the basement. All these bids do not include anything for, so they're bids on the bathroom, the kitchen, I'm trying to think, the driveway, the deck that you need in order to get to the site, to the yard, is just totally rotted at this point and needs to be redone. And basically downstairs, I've done nothing, and the laundry room upstairs, which is really, it's got the chip tile on the floors, and we'll get to it, but it's probably what needs to be done most. So these aluminum windows were the original windows, and they're still on the bottom floor, and since I don't go down to the bottom floor much, anyway, I'm not motivated to replace them, and there's a bid. Let's see, what was the bid on doing those windows? Anyway, there's a bid on those windows in there, which is substantial. The next page was lighting and the laundry room, where you can see the original cabinets, which is what the bathroom cabinets and the downstairs cabinets. And it may be just a 1970s thing, but it's plywood doors on them. Then the tiles, he did a lot of tiling in the house because I think he did it himself. And there's tip. Anyway, the laundry room would need to be gutted. The next page is the laundry room tub on the right. As you can see, it's the original, not in good condition, not $1 million house. Unfortunately, there was dry rot in the shower, and I had him redo the bottom of the shower, and he used that, which was my mistake. He used the least expensive materials available, and you can't keep it clean. So that needs to be redone. The shower is too small for $1 million house, I'm told. So what did I know? And toilets need their own little rooms in $1 million houses. So you go into the bathroom, and it's a big room with a toilet sitting in the corner. It used to be, when I moved in, that the sinks were in the center of the room. It was a round sink in the center of the room with hanging mirrors, and the shower was in the corner. And I moved the sinks back to the wall is what I did, or I had them moved. The next picture just shows the grass is, you know, it gets cut, but it needs food and loving care. I also showed the sunken living room, which is, there's still, even as much as I've done to try and get rid of some of the 1970s, the sunken living room is there, the lava fireplace is there. So there's a lot of stuff with people walking in who lived in the 1970s would say, yes, 1970s. And you either love it or you don't, I guess. The picture of the trees down below is the view to the east off the deck. There's no view of the river. The trees were, that was just, I happen to have that picture of the trees tied up, that the color was very nice that year. Trees may count as a view. I don't know. Anyway, there's just a lot of, although I have dumped money into this, just trying to do maintenance and stuff, there's just a lot of things that, you know, haven't been done. And like I said, when I bought the house, it was very, very quirky. And so, you know, some of it, like there was the shingles in the kitchen came down to the countertop. Now, I don't know a woman alive that would want shingles down to her countertop. That took like a day to knock the shingles out and sheetrock that wall. I mean, that was not a big project, but all those kinds of projects had turned people off, and there were, it was a very unique house. And that's why the house had been on the market for a long time, and I've tried to undo some of that. There was a single roof, I don't know how to explain it, between the hall and the living room and dining room. And I kind of thought that was kind of interesting. I kind of like unique. And so I was up on a ladder vacuuming it, and then I decided it wasn't that cute, and it went. So gradually I've taken some of the quirkiness out of it, but like I said, I don't have a design eye, and the countertops are Home Depot, and that was probably a mistake. I mean, if I was going to go that route, people are looking for more expensive quartz, and, you know, you need a designer in order. I believe that most million-dollar houses probably, maybe I'm wrong, but I believe that they've had some design help, you know, on that level, and I think it makes a difference. Anyway, those are my frustrations. I'd love to know what the view is worth, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Do you have questions? Oh, there was one other thing I wanted to point out. I also slipped in there, which I thought was probably a mistake. I slipped in there a picture of a bathroom that was not my bathroom. It was a $1 million bathroom, to kind of also remind me that there's a huge difference between just an okay bathroom and a $1 million bathroom. And I think I underlined the address on that thing. So I thought, oh, I shouldn't have done that, because then you guys are going to think that was my bathroom. It's not, unfortunately.
I don't have any further questions.
Okay. I don't have any questions.
Now, I've got one quick question. You have the appraisal in there at $720,000. But on your request for value, you've got $800,000. Is there? Is that correct? You're asking for $800,000 or what?
Yes. Okay. So the $720,000 was the appraisal from the previous year, and when I came to you guys, you said it was worth $800,000. So I started with what you said from last year. I mean, obviously, $720,000 would be nice, but I'm honoring what I assume you guys are professional and you know a lot more than I do about this. But okay. So that's where I started. New year, it seemed reasonable.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Thank you very much. Thank you for being there. This is an incredible thing.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
All right. Bye-bye.
This is the April 2nd, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition 151 for property ID 12744300. The property address is 3134 Northwest McIntosh Road, and the property is owned by Richard and Beverly Robertson. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There's no one present from the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant. The appellant's evidence included that the property was purchased for $300,000 in May 2021, and the appellant included 5 sales without details. The assessor's office included 5 sales, a photo of the view, and a cover letter recommending the assessed value be reduced to $590,000. The appellant disagreed with the appraiser's findings. Since no one is present for either party, I will turn it over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is the April 2nd, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 30 minutes scheduled for these two properties. The hearings before us involve petition 316 and 317. For property IDs 208-193-000 and 208-194-000. The property is owned by Geraldine Rowe. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one here from the assessor's office, but we do have Geraldine here for the appellant. I know we can't see you, but if you could please raise your right hand right now to be sworn in.
Okay.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in these hearings will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Just to let you know, thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as to the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, no, I don't have any questions. I'm familiar with it.
Okay.
Now, I had sent in a multi-page document, and I don't know if you have any questions on anything that I've provided. So if you don't, I'd just like to go over some specific on each one of the properties, as well as some details and items of interest on some of the comps that I've provided. Will that work for you?
Sure. Why don't you just go ahead and give us an overview of what you want to focus on, and we'll go from there.
Okay, well, as you know, it's two properties. They are contiguous. They have two corner points, so they're in the same vicinity. One of them is 1.76 acres. So I'll just go over some of the details on that particular property. I did include a picture because I think that's very relevant. The zoning is R5. It's a slope property. Actually, 90% of the square footage is on a slope. Approximately 10% is flat. It's dense brush trees, no water, no septic. There is a road easement on the eastern side of the property, kind of east and northern. On the western side, it's adjacent to an easement for a private drive. It would be 100th Street if that ever went through. And then on the southern side, there is a paved road for a private road. So there's the junkyard on one side and then what I just described for the other sides of the property. And my other property is 5 acres, and it, as I said, it's kind of contiguous. The corners touch. It's 5 acres, very flat. What I do want to point out are several items. One of them, it does have a 60-foot road easement on the eastern side for access to all the property through there, and if it ever is punched through. And two other things that are highly relevant. One of them is a utility easement for PP&L. At one time, they were looking at putting in electricity towers, because somebody had determined that the utility demands in this area required putting in these high-tension utility towers. And it would have been right over a Northwest Natural Gas pipeline, which is, and I didn't recently look it up, but I believe it's a 40-inch natural gas pipeline. So that's right adjacent to this particular property. It's fairly rectangular, heavily tree, dense brush, like the other property that I just mentioned. So those were just some of the things that I felt were really relevant to those two particular properties. And I've shown what I think is a fair value for the 1.76 acre is 184,263. That's approximately a 10% increase over the value from the previous year, even though I know you can't use assessed valuation. I just felt it was relevant to point that out. The assessor feels it's 41% increase would be an equitable increase. For the 5 acre, I'm requesting $281.70, and that also is approximately a 10% increase in value versus 35% increase over the previous value. Now, along with this, I've shown both of the properties and the locations and the relevance on my quick sheet. I show the value per acre, which I think is a real indicator of fair market value too, since it was based on a sales price. I know typically the assessor they don't assess it for the actual sale price. It seems to lag by a few years. But I wanted to point it out to show that what I feel is and have justified through comps is a fair market value for both of the properties. One of the properties, it's on page 12, or it's a comparable for the 1.76 acres. It's R5, just as, even though it's not 5 acres, it's still an R5. A new house was completed on that in 2024. So it was a buildable site, comparable to mine, slightly larger. And that was the only one I wanted to point out some specifics for the comp. The other ones, I provide as much detail as I was able to gather. I did point out on page 14, which is the 5 acre comparable, one listed in List Center. It doesn't have an R5 designation, but it does have what's considered LDR, which is low density residential. So felt that was a relevant property is comparable, not a rural with Le Center and Ridgefield growing considerably. Another one of the properties on page 15, I pointed this out just because I didn't necessarily understand how a property that was put under a forced practice 6-year moratorium and that didn't expire until this year, and yet a home was built on it in 2023. Don't know the relevance, felt that was worthwhile to point out. And page 16, another 5-acre comparable house has already been built on it. It was clear cut and also in Le Center. The last one for the 5-acre comparable, I could not find information on this property. Didn't list having a septic or a well, and both of those, if you get a property with them, that's a considerable investment. So that's a benefit to you when you buy a property. This property had a mobile on it in 2006. I could find no evidence that there was a septic or well, but I don't understand that without it that they would have had a mobile on it. So my assumption is that the sale of this property included a septic and well. Also, I did include just kind of as a baseline to show what 5-acre parcels are selling at. Provided on the
last page of my little booklet, three sites, two in Battleground, one fairly rural in Amboy, and they had different designations than R5. I don't understand how the forest areas were divided, but in either case, they were sold at a significantly lower price than what I am considering fair. So it's just kind of a baseline to show that there are various parcels sold at a fairly low prices. And that is probably all that I wanted to share with you. Does anyone have any questions, or have I confused things?
No, what's the approximate location of these properties?
Of which one?
Both of them.
Of both of the properties, they're approximately, they don't have an actual rural address. The closest one is 9910 Northeast 219th Avenue is a close home to both of the properties, actually adjacent to both of the properties. But I've always listed it as 100th Street and 219th Avenue. Those would be the closest ones. For county roads, the closest would be 222nd Avenue, which is a paved public road, and 109th Street, which is also a paved road. But it's not adjacent to either one of those. But that's the closest paved public road.
And what is that address? Is it Battleground or?
No, it's Vancouver.
It is Vancouver, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And zip is 98682.
Got it. Okay.
So both properties are accessible off of 222nd Avenue.
Got it.
There's a private road that goes up the hill and...
I have no further questions.
No, nor do I.
Yeah, I don't have any questions on it.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Well, you'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay. I appreciate it. Go enjoy the rest of the day. It's beautiful outside.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is the April 2nd, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves Petition 225 for property ID 194-323-000. The property address is 2511 South Parkway Ave, and the property is owned by James Shurkin. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have James, one more James, and Kirk Godman here for the appellant. For anyone who would like to speak at this hearing, please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
I do.
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, thank you. This is Jim Cirk, and I'm the property owner. Thank you for hearing the case and for allowing us to give testimony here. I asked my realtor, Kirk Godman, to join us today. He's much more familiar with residential development and property values than I am, so he can answer technical questions. Back in June when I received the appraisal, I was very concerned because the appraisal price had tripled from the one the previous year. And I got to looking at it, and I was concerned that maybe all of the factors regarding development of this site as residential property were not fully understood or known at the time the appraisal was prepared, because it is kind of hard to see if you just glance at it. So I did some research, and I obtained data regarding the site from Cascadia Environmental Services, and I submitted a drawing to you back on November 14th, and it shows the extent of the wetlands and the required setbacks and everything, and that drawing indicates that there is only 10.21 acres of buildable area outside of the buffer areas and the wetlands that's actually developable. So instead of 16, it's down to a little over 10. In addition to which, the Cascadia people noted that there is no public access now to the east side of the creek, of Weaver Creek, and that's the majority of the property. There is an existing culvert crossing Weaver Creek that would have to be improved, but that would be done at the developer's expense, and I understand that's pretty expensive to do. In addition, there are no utilities at the east side of the site, including water, gas, electric, and most importantly, no sewer. So that's basically our point of appeal here. And then I asked Mr. Goodman if he would put together his thoughts on this, and put his thoughts together and then do comparables in the area, which he has done, and that's that packet that I sent to you. So that's basically our point of appeal. And if you have any technical questions, I would ask Kirk to address them. Thank you.
So we've read your information, and you come to the conclusion that if there's 10 acres available because of the setbacks and everything, the assessor has refuted that in saying that the setbacks that you use were excessive, and that they're only, I think you said 200 feet, and they said it's about half of that, which gives the rise to the more property than what you've delineated. Do you have any comments on that, either of you?
I was unaware of that, and to be honest with you, I don't know what the setbacks are. I depended upon Cascadia Environmental to assess the land and walked it, and they actually walked it, and they determined that there were very steep properties, very steep slopes, and then there's a lot of wetlands and a seasonal creek, and then they determined the amount of area that needed to be included in that, not me. So I really don't know how to address that. Kirk, what do you think?
My comment on that would be that we did seek professional assessment on this property, which would be the professional who would actually be assessing this type of property if it were to be developed. So we're not the experts when it comes to that. That's why we hired a professional. I'm trying to think about what the best way to go about having that conversation with the right person. But the setbacks, from what I understand, depend on the type of wetlands. And, for example, if it's a fish-bearing creek, it could very well be 200 feet. And I've known that for years, that setback of 200 feet is very likely. So we are probably not the ones to argue this, because we're not the professionals when it comes to that. That's why we hired them. But in my personal and professional experience, I have heard of 200 setbacks in many cases, depending on what type of creek or wetlands are present.
Well, on their response, the assessor's response, it's on a page that's in their response labeled 20, and they're saying the setback on Salmon Creek is 250 just because of the environment. Salmon Creek has substantial lowlands on both sides of it in many cases, so that's their setback is 250 feet. On Wooden Creek, it's 100 feet, and other streams are 50 feet. And
understood.
And, say again?
Oh, I was just saying, understood. I hear you.
Which would indicate that they're including more property in there that's developable. And I don't know the lay of that land either. I don't know whether it's steep or not. Now, the information that you got is not included in this appeal, is it?
It just included the picture, right, the map?
Yes, I included the map and then the information in the cover letter and the comparables from Mr. Godwin.
And maybe you can describe how extensive this this review. Who was it that did it? Columbia? Somebody?
Cascadia. Environmental. Okay. And in conjunction with an engineering firm called SGA Engineers out of Vancouver.
Is that S as in Sam?
Two firms.
S as in Sam, yes. Sierra, Gulf, Alpha.
What is it again?
The engineering firm's name engineering. Is SGA Engineering and Cascadia Environmental. And they did this jointly.
And they indicated to you the setbacks were 200 feet. Is that correct?
Well, if you look at it, it doesn't show 200 feet in every direction. I can't really read the drawing that well, but I'm looking at it and I see where they have outlined the area that is developable versus undevelopable, and there aren't dimensions on it, so it's hard to tell what the actual dimension is.
Right.
But they did this by computer and then let the computer calculate the developable area.
And then there's no access on the east. It sounds like they need a
side of the site. Yeah, the east side of the site across Wooden Creek, there is no physical access to it. We don't have any roads or anything touching our site. So they would have to cross the creek and build and improve the culvert and then build a bridge.
And how about the west side or the north or the south
side? The west side. The south side, we have no access to on that side, and we have no access on the far east or the north. Now, on the western property, western side of Wooden Creek, of course, it touches the street.
Okay.
And there's no utility.
There are no utilities east of Wooden Creek. There's no water, gas, sewer, and most importantly, the sewer, because there's just no way to get sewer there right now.
So, if I'm looking at this map correctly, on your west side, there's an existing barn, house, or at least existing buildings there on one portion of it, and then you've got the creek through, and then there's this seasonal creek that runs off on a northerly part heading east. And they've circled oak in there. Are those white oak trees, or do you know that?
Yes, they are. Those are the protected oak trees. They identified those.
So there's a potential environmental concern because of those trees there, I would assume. So.
Yes, and there's two of them very close to Wooden Creek, and then one over on the almost outside the picture. Unfortunately, when I photocopied this and printed it, it cut off the word oak, but there's another oak tree out there.
Okay, I see it. I don't have any other questions.
And how did you come up with the, the 2,000,003 that you're suggesting?
That is incorrect, because I was looking at it, and the drawing that I sent with that, I sent back in June or July of last year, and then I asked that to be thrown away because I did that myself, just guessing at it. And so what I'm saying now is, if we're looking at 10 acres versus 16, it would be 10/16 of the value.
So what value would that
not
be?
Not 2 million.
What are you asking for?
Kirk, what do you think? I don't have a calculator in front of me.
Right. One comment I'll make is just from, I do work with developers. I know what they're currently paying per acre of developable land in Battleground. I have some clients that are off of 92nd Avenue. So the one thing I did want to add, if I may, is that there's, based on my, you know, current understanding of the market right now, there's no way that a developer would pay the assessed value of the property. And the most important reason, second to that, there's not actually 16 developable acres, and then the creek being a significant obstacle, is that the sewer main, which is the most expensive part about developing properties, as you probably already know, the sewer main is very, very far away. And a developer buying this property, having to bring the sewer in, would incur an enormous cost. And there's no way that they would pay the price that the property is currently assessed at $3.3 million. So if I was to guess the value of this property, stated in my cover letter, typically price per acre can range from $125 to $175 per net usable acre. And that does depend on how close the utilities are, being most importantly the sewer. With that being said, my assessed value of this property, if there were, let's just say there's 10 usable acres, even at $175,000 per acre, that's $1.75 million assessed value.
So is that what
now
you're...
you could argue that that's more...
Is that what you're asking for then?
Sorry, go ahead.
Is that the value that you're asking for, is 1.7? We just need a number, because we can't tell
you. You just need a number, understand. Jim, is that our number?
Yes, that would be our number, Kirk. I would agree with your thinking there, and that's, I think, reasonable.
Okay, thank you. I don't have any other questions.
Well, I don't have anything more to contribute. I think, Kirk, you have covered all of the technical issues, and at this point, I think 1.75 million reasonably reflects an assessed value, so we would go with that number.
So it's 1.75? I had 1.7, but it's 1.75?
Yes. Is that right, Kirk? 1.75?
Yeah, 1.75 based on the $175,000 per acre. Yes, 1.75.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I got kicked off the line. Could you just summarize what you just talked about?
Would you like me to summarize, or?
Kirk, if you would, please.
Okay. I'm not sure where you got kicked off. I think that with developers and sellers in Battleground, actually, and I have some clients on 92nd Avenue in Battleground. I am familiar with the current market rate per net usable acre, and I in my cover letter I have $125,000 to $175,000 per net usable acre, and that is typically the price paid for when utilities are close. Forgive me, I don't have the exact number, but I did use the mapping tool on the Clark County website to find out how far away the sewer was, and I believe it was over 3,000 feet away. And for a developer to pay top dollar for a property and also have to bring the sewer in more than a half a mile away would incur an enormous cost. And so with that being said, I would give the recommendation for the max allowable amount to be paid per usable acre would be $175,000 per net usable acre, which in this case is roughly 10 acres from what we understand, given the reports produced from Cascadia and SGA Engineering.
So they would still pay that with the sewer and everything as far away as it is?
I don't even know if they would pay that much. I think that's the most that they would pay. So Jim and I are in agreement that okay with the max investment of $175,000 per acre, but I mean I would be surprised if someone would actually pay $1.75 million for this property today, with the location of the sewer being where it is, and that's all I want to say.
So that's times 10.1 acres.
10.21.
That would be $1,786,750.
Okay. Yeah.
Does that sound right?
That number. 786. $1,786,000. Yes.
Okay.
All right. Any other comments, questions, John?
Nope. I have no other questions. Thank you.
No, I don't have any further questions.
Okay.
No, and I don't have any additional comments, and I just want to thank you for hearing us today and addressing this issue with us, and I appreciate you taking your time. Thank you.
I wanted to just one clarification from you as the owner of the property, that you're requesting now a value of $1,786,750.
Yes. Yes, sir. We can certainly go with that.
Okay. Thank you. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Thank you.
Okay?
Okay. Again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Close the hearing.